Greetings in Jesus' name. I'm going to read a scripture here. Some thoughts on how we should live, our attitudes, our actions. Just breaking in at Ephesians 4, verse 17, and reading through 5:2. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. there's a lot in there, but I'm going to read a story that may somewhat illustrate how our words and action attitudes affect our lives. What's it like in your town? Once there was an old and very wise man. Every day he would sit outside a gas station in his rocking chair and wait to greet motorists as they passed through his small town. On this day, his granddaughter knelt down at the front of his chair and slowly passed the time with him. As they sat and watched the people come and go, a tall man who surely had to be a tourist, since they knew everyone in the town, began looking around as if he were checking out the area for a place to live. The stranger walked up and asked, "So what kind of town is this that we're in?" The older gentleman slowly turned to the man and replied, "Well, what kind of town are you from?" The tourist said, "In the town I'm from, everyone is very critical of each other. The neighbors all gossip about everyone, and it's a real negative place to live. I'm sure glad to be leaving. It is not a very cheerful place." The man in the chair looked at the stranger and said, "You know, that's just how this town is." An hour or so later, a family that was also passing through stopped for gas. The car slowly turned in and rolled to a stop in front of where the older gentleman and his granddaughter were sitting. The mother jumped out with two small children and asked where the restrooms were. The man in the chair pointed to a small bent-up sign that was barely hanging by one nail on the side of the door. The father stepped out of the car and also asked the man, "Is this town a pretty good place to live?" The man in the chair replied, "What about the town you're from? How is it?" The father looked at him and said, "Well, in the town I'm from, everyone is very close and always willing to lend their neighbor a helping hand. There's always a hello and thank you everywhere you go. really hate to leave. I feel almost like we are leaving family. The older gentleman turned to the father and gave him a warm smile. You know, that's a lot like this small town. Then the family returned to the car, said their thank yous, and waved goodbye and drove away. After the family was in the distance, the granddaughter looked up at her grandfather and asked, Grandpa, how come when the first man came into our town, you told him it was a terrible place to live? And when the family came into town, you told them it was a very wonderful place to live? The grandfather lovingly looked down at his granddaughter's wandering blue eyes and said, No matter where you move, you take your own attitude with you, and that's what makes it terrible or wonderful.
Thanks, Dad, for that. Appreciate that reminder. We'll take time for announcements now, so give that. Anyone who has an announcement, feel free to share that. We'll be sharing next what they have prepared for tonight, and then following that, Glenda is going to have a story for the children, so the children may come forward after Levon's family is done, then children may come forward for the children's class.
First of all, I wanted to share a quote that has been meaningful to Twyla and I, and it is about time, which for some reason seems to be at a premium at this stage. And the quote is from Anne Volskamp with A Thousand Gifts, and I'll read it here. And this is the only way to slow time. When I fully enter in time's swift current, enter into the current moment with the weight of all my attention, I slow the torrent with the weight of me all here. And next we'll be singing, it's called Honor the Lord Medley, and we learned it from the Good family, I guess it is, but the Nathan Good family, which incidentally we wanted to put a plug in that is just some very nice CD for a young family. They have some children singing along with it and alone, and yeah, we found it a great blessing.
Honor the Lord with your songs of praise. Come before him with singing. Lift up your hands and your voices raise. Honor the Lord with your songs of praise. Honor the Lord with your songs of praise. Come before him with singing. Lift up your hands and your voices raise. Honor the Lord with your songs of praise. He is the one who gives us the breath to sing. Your songs of praise, come before him with singing. Lift up your hands and your voices raise. Honor the Lord with your songs of praise. Praise the Lord for all his loving kindness. Sing our great Redeemer's praise. For his mercy never faileth, louder all anthems raise. Praise the Lord for his loving kindness, and on earth his praises sing. Bow before him and adore him, praise the Lord our Savior King. Oh, Magnify his name forever, sing his praise forever. Praise the Lord for his loving kindness, heaven and earth his praises sing. Bow before him and adore him, praise the Lord our Savior King. The birds upon the treetops sing their song, the angels chant their chorus all day long. The flowers in the garden blend their hues. Oh, what should I worship to praise him too? Praise him, praise him, my little children. God is love, God is love. Praise him, my little children. God is love, God is love. Thank him, my little children. God is love, thank him, my little children. God is love. God is love. Children sing, happy praises to our King. Gladly raise, joyful songs of praise. Jesus is the children's friend, he'll be with us till the end. Children sing, praises to our King. The Lord with your songs of praise, come before him with singing. Lift up your hands and your voices raise. Honor the Lord with your songs of praise. Honor the Lord with your songs of praise. Come before him with singing. Lift up your hands and your voices raise. Honor the Lord with your songs of praise.
Take disposal in case you're curious. Oh. We're going to be sharing a story about frugality and probably something that most of you older ones know more about than we younger ones. And just had some rambling thoughts here along these lines. Some were related than others and just not trying to make big statements, just stirring the pot a little bit. The one thing was, I was just wondering if the reason we like cheap stuff is so we can have more of it. So we pitch stuff easily, and then it's good at developing consumers and wasters. Or at least can be. Also thought it was just, I wonder, did we abolish slavery or just paint a different face on it and send it overseas? But we also shop at Walmart, so not necessarily pointing fingers. And there's something that I've wondered, if we did have an economic crash, would there be a certain sweetness to that, in that there would be more of a dignity of working with our hands and repairing and, you know, where time is where it's okay to spend time on something because, well, it's not inverted like it is today. Maybe we could replace the dignity of the working of our hands with the power and the dignity of the folds of the wallet. And I was also wondering, I heard a comment just lately, that for some youth, you know, they wonder where is the future for them in our church with the expression of their artistic bent or the arts. And it's a valid thought. I think there's it may look different than we think at first when we're young, too. But I did wonder, too, what would happen if we were more busy with our hands and with creating things and such. Would it bring a measure of fulfillment in that of that bent that we have? I'll let Twyla introduce the story, but I will just let this be a call to be thankful and possibly to learn frugality from the older ones among us that have had harder times than we have. And also, maybe just as an expression of stewardship, an encouragement to repurpose things and to repair when possible.
Joseph had a little overcoat, was adapted and translated from a Yiddish folk song, and Yiddish is a language that the Jews speak, especially in Eastern Europe. So I hope you enjoy it.
Joseph had a little overcoat. It got old and worn. Made a hat out of it, went to the
Joseph had a jacket. It got old and worn.
So he made a vest out of it and danced at his nephew's wedding. Joseph had a little vest. It got old and worn. So he made a scarf out of it and sang in the men's chorus. Joseph had a scarf. It got old and worn. So he made a necktie out of it and went to visit his married sister in the city. Joseph had a little necktie. It got old and worn.
So he made a handkerchief out of it and drank a glass of hot tea with lemon. Joseph had a little handkerchief. It got old and worn.
So he made a button out of it and used it to fasten his suspenders. Joseph had a little button, and one day he lost it.
Now he had nothing. So Joseph made a book about it, which shows
you can always make something out of nothing.
Now we're going to try to sing it, if we can.
I had a little overcoat, much too old to sew. La 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 la. Whatever could I do with it, I just didn't know. La 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 la. So I thought, what could I do? And made myself a jacket that was almost new. La 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 la. Made myself a jacket that was almost new. I had a little jacket, much too old to sew. La 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 la. Whatever could I do with it, I just didn't know. La 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 la. So I thought, what could I do? And made myself a vest that was almost new. La 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 la. Made myself a vest that was almost new.
I had a little vest, much too old to sew. La 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 la. Whatever could I do with it, I just didn't know. La 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 la. So I thought, what could I do? I made myself a tie that was almost new. La 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 la. Made myself a tie that was almost new. I had a little tie, much too old to sew. La 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 la. Whatever could I do with it, I just didn't know. La 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 la. So I thought, what could I do? I made myself a button that was almost new. La 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 la. Made myself a button that was almost new. I had a little button, wherever did it go? La 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 la. Whatever did I do with it, I just didn't know. La 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 la. So I thought, what could I do? But all I had was nothing, neither old or new. La 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 la. All I had was nothing, neither old or new. All I had was nothing and nothing much to sew. La 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 la. What could I do with nothing? I just didn't know. La 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 la. So I thought, what could I do? And sang myself a song, and I sing this song to you. La 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 la. Sang myself a song, and I sing this song to you. Sang myself a song, and I sing this song to you.
So now the children can come forward for children's class.
Okay, Maya, I'm glad to see you here. Raise your hand if you think you have a heart. Do you have a heart? You think so? Okay, I'm going to Reginald. I'm going to check and see if Reginald has a heart. This is just pretend. Okay, I see you. Check you. Dear me. I don't think he has a heart. I'm going to read a story about the boy who had no heart. I don't know if you can see the pictures or not. How very strange, how dreadful, said the wise old doctor, shaking his head. Why, this boy has no heart. Johnny squirmed and jumped down from the high stool where he had been sitting. I don't care. I don't care one tiny little bit, he cried, putting on his shirt as he ran out of the room. I don't need a heart. Johnny was a rude, unpleasant boy. He had become so selfish and mean that his father and mother had sent him to the doctor to find out what was wrong. The old doctor was very fond of Johnny and had known him since he was a boy. Having no heart did not bother Johnny at first. It made him feel more important than ever. He was so selfish that the other children did not like to play with him. And since he had become so cocky, they paid no attention to him at all. Johnny liked to play very much. Now, he was lonely, and he just sat in front of his house doing nothing. Then he began to wonder, was it because he had no heart that the other children wouldn't play with him? He couldn't stand it any longer, and he went back to the doctor and asked him what to do. Johnny, the old doctor said, you will never be happy without a heart, I think you'll have to find one somehow. Johnny was lazy. He didn't like to look for anything. He thought he knew a much easier way to get a heart. Down from the high shelf in his room, he took his bank, which held all the money he had. He tucked the bank under his arm and hurried to the village store, where one could buy almost anything. "Sell me a heart," he demanded from a busy clerk. "Wait a minute, young man," the clerk answered, smiling a little. "We don't sell hearts." And then he added, "Even if we did, I don't think I would sell one to you. You wouldn't know what to do with it." Johnny stamped out of the store and walked as fast as he could to the little shop of Clever Joe. Now, Clever Joe was a man who could fix anything from roller skates to broken fences, from ladies' bracelets to the weather vane way up on the top of the high church steeple. This time, Johnny was a little more polite. "Please, would you make me a heart?" he asked. "The doctor says I don't have one." But Clever Joe shook his head. "I wish I could do it for you, Johnny, but I haven't the right materials. You must find your heart yourself." Johnny didn't know what to do next. He was feeling very, very sorry for himself. In the meadow outside the village, a carnival was being held, and he walked toward the music. The carnival was gay and exciting. Everyone was laughing and shouting and having a good time. Everyone but Johnny. No one even noticed him. He looked longingly at the whirling merry-go-round and at the clown selling tickets for the puppet show. But he clutched his bank firmly and passed them by. No, his money was not for that. He did spend a few pennies for a cinnamon bun full of raisins. He thought that he would eat this bun for his supper, for he had decided not to go home until he had a heart. Johnny sniffed a strange sweetish smell in the air. It led him to a booth piled high with candies. There were candies of all shapes, all sizes, and all colors. He stopped just to look. Then suddenly he saw it. A beautiful big red candy heart hanging right in front of him. He emptied all the money out of his bank, and the jolly woman in charge of the booth counted it out for him. It took every single penny. But the beautiful trimmed heart, trimmed all over with white and pinkish sugar, was his. Holding the heart carefully with both hands, he sat down to admire it. He did notice a white-faced clown. He did not notice a white-faced clown sitting nearby, but the clown saw Johnny. For a long time, Johnny just looked and looked at the heart. Then he couldn't help it. He had to take one quick little lick with his tongue, and then just one tiny bite. And before he realized what was happening, his precious heart was nearly gone. One small sticky piece was all that was left. Greedy Johnny no longer had even a whole candy heart. The tiny piece he wrapped up and put in his pocket. He wanted to cry, but he closed his eyes so tight so the tears wouldn't come. When Johnny opened his eyes, someone was leaning over him, watching him. As he jumped up, he looked into a face as sad as his own. Here was someone who would understand. And Johnny found himself telling the clown how unhappy he was. How the children wouldn't play with him. How the doctor said he had no heart. And how he had been so greedy that the heart he had bought was all but gone. "That's bad," said the clown. "Very bad. Let me think." Then the clown wrinkled his forehead and thought hard while Johnny waited. At last he said, "I have it, Johnny. Why don't you try being a bit unselfish? You know, not thinking of yourself all the time. Be a little more thoughtful. You might find that, after all, you do really really have a heart. Try it. See what happens. Then, although no one was near enough to hear him, the clown leaned over and whispered in Johnny's ear, "Don't tell anyone, but sometimes I am not too happy either. In fact, right this minute, I am very sad, and all because of my little girl, Tina. I was cross to her, and she cried and ran away. I know she will come back, but I want to find her right now. But I can't. I have to go and make people laugh." A loud bell buzzed from one of the booths. "That's for me," said the clown, and smiling a funny painted smile, he hurried away. "Don't worry, I'll go and find Tina," Johnny called after him. Johnny left the carnival. He had not gone far when he saw a small, forlorn child huddled up by the roadside. When he came closer, he was sure it was Tina. But when he spoke to her, she just looked at him with sad eyes. Johnny remembered how Tina's father, the clown, made people laugh, and he tried every trick he knew for Tina. He stood in his head, he wiggled his ears, but Tina didn't even smile. At last she said, "I'm hungry." And then Johnny quickly pulled out of his pocket the sugary bun he had bought at the fair and gave it to her. He held the precious piece of candy heart in his hands for a minute. Then he gave that to her also. "You can have this too," he said. When Tina finished the last bite, suddenly her face was all smiles. "You have the biggest heart in all the world," she said to Johnny. And waving her hand goodbye, she ran off across the meadow to find her father. Johnny felt very strange. The biggest heart in all the world? He thought he did not even have a heart. Suddenly, something happened. Thump, thump, thump. He could feel his own heart beat. Now he knew he did have a heart. As fast as he could, he ran back to the village. When he reached the village green, he shouted, "I have a heart! I have a heart! I have! I have! I have!" People heard him and looked out their doors and out of their windows. The children came running. By the time Johnny reached the gate leading to the doctor's house, he found the old man waiting there, stethoscope in hand. I'm going to check Reginald again, see if he found a heart. Let's see. Okay, let's check. You hear it? Oh, he found his heart. Okay. He smiled and said, "It is true. You do have a heart after all. I must have been mistaken." The children gathered around him. "Let us listen," they begged. They too heard the thump, thump of Johnny's heart. And as they stood gazing at him, Johnny grinned and said eagerly, "I have all kinds of toys you can play with, and I know games that are lots of fun." The next thing Johnny knew, they were all shouting and playing together. As he lay in his bed that night, he thought to himself, "Who would ever think a heart could make so much difference?" And Johnny kept his heart as long as he lived. Now, do you know what the problem was in the story? Do you know why he didn't have a heart? He didn't have any love in his heart. He had a heart that beat, but he didn't even love in his heart. He was selfish. But you know what? I can tell that you all have hearts because you listen really well, because you have all his smiles on your faces. I know you have hearts. Let's say love one another, for love is of God. Can we say that together? Love one another, for love is of God. And then we're going to sing a song pretty soon that talks about that, so you listen carefully. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your parents.
Love through me.
Well, the first two songs that we sang had to do with love, and the second two had to do with praise, emphasizing that we should praise God for who he is and also what he does. And that's been something I've been trying to learn over the last years, is to praise God regardless of what life looks like or what it feels like. And that's one reason why I like one of Amy Carmichael's poems, The Way of the Lord, The Ways of the Lord, as it talks about sometimes the ways of the Lord are not easy, but always a proper response is praise. And so I'd like to share with you Amy Carmichael's poem, The Ways of the Lord. Thy ways by quiet waters and pleasant pasture land lead on across the levels of tawny wastes of sand, through perilous mountain passes in beating wind and rain, through valleys set with fountains, and out and on again. And I sing, yea, I sing in the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. How often when out wearied, my force and courage spent, I apprehend a presence, beloved, imminent. Then colors wake about me and living waters flow. The world moves on to music. The night is all aglow. And I sing, yea, I sing in the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. No mortal ear has heard it, no mortal eye perceived, no swift imagination has ever yet conceived. How singular the beauty, how bountiful the grace, prepared for him who presses to thy fair dwelling place. And I sing, yea, I sing in the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, we're getting close to the end here. Our family has something to share yet. So go ahead and can come up to the top, and I'll... As we were thinking about what we would share tonight, the two songs that came to our minds right away were two songs that have become favorites of ours, of our families, over the last several years with our experiences with our daughter and just life experiences in general. So the two main hymns are songs that have come to mean a lot to us, and then some of the readings and things surrounding that pertain as well. But we'll start with Trevor reciting part of Psalm 34.
Psalm 34, verses 1 through 6. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Mommy told me something a little girl should know. It's all about the devil, and I learned to hate him so. She said he causes trouble when you let him in the room. He will never, ever leave you. Fear, fear, heart is filled with gloom, so let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win, so let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. If I forget to say my prayer, the devil drops with glee. But he feels so awful, awful when he sees me on my knees. So if you're full of trouble when you seem to win, just open up your heart and let the sun shine. shine in, so let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in.
First Peter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Teacups. It's the story of an American couple celebrating their 26th wedding anniversary. They go to England. Both the man and his wife were fanciers of antiques, pottery, and china. When they come to Sussex, they go past this little china shop, instantly stop, back up, and go in. Their eyes single out a little teacup on the top shelf. He looked at her. She nodded, and he said, "May I see that one?" As he examined it, he said, "I've never seen a teacup like it. It's beautiful." But suddenly the teacup spoke and said, "You don't understand. I haven't always been a teacup. There was a time that I was red and that I was clay. Then my master took me and rolled me over and over and over. I yelled out in objection, 'Let me alone!' But he only smiled and said, 'Not yet.' Then, the teacup said, I was placed on a spinning wheel, and suddenly I was spun around and around and around. I said, 'Stop! I'm getting dizzy!' And the master nodded and said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me in an oven. I've never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted to burn me up. I yelled and I knocked at the door. All the while, I could see him through the opening. I could read his lips as he shook his head. 'Not yet.' Finally, the door did open. Whew! He put me up on the top shelf and I began to cool. I said, 'There, that's better.' Then, suddenly, he brushed me and painted me all over, and the fumes were horrible. I thought I would gag. I said, 'Stop it! Stop it!' He only nodded and said, 'Not yet.' Then, suddenly, he put me back into an oven. Not the first one, but one twice as hot. I knew I would suffocate. I begged. I pleaded. I screamed. I cried. And all the time, I could see him through the opening, nodding his head, saying, 'Not yet.' Then, when I knew there was no hope, and I'd never make it, and I was ready to give up, the door opened. He took me out and placed me on a shelf. 1 hour later, he handed me a mirror and said, 'Look at yourself.' And I did. But it's not me. It couldn't be. I'm beautiful. Then he said, 'I want you to remember. I know it hurt to be rolled and padded, but if I'd have left you, you would have dried up. I know it made you dizzy to spin around on the wheel, but if I'd have stopped, you would have crumbled. I know it hurt, and it was hot in the oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were bad when I brushed you and painted you all over, but you see, if I hadn't done that, you wouldn't have hardened, and there would have been no color to your life. If I hadn't put you back in the second oven, you would not have survived very long, and your hardness would not have held. Now you are a finished product. You are what I had in mind when I first began with you."
The two songs that we have are God Leads Us Alone in Shady Green Pastures, and the second one is My Sheep Know My Voice.
shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, lays the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all in the ninth season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
A purpose for today, author unknown. Did you wake up this morning and see the sunrise? Did you draw a deep breath? Did you open your eyes? As the dark of night vanished nimbly away, did you wonder what God has in mind for today? There's a purpose for you on this day to fulfill, if you seek for his leading and stay in his will. There's something God knows that he wants you to do. There are great opportunities waiting for you. No, it may not be something that is noticed at all. For to men it may seem insignificant, small. But God knows a task of endurable length that's within your capacity, power, and strength. For if God, on this day, had no purpose in store, you would not have awakened on earth anymore. Had he not seen potential someplace on the way, then he would not have given another new day.
My sheep know my voice and the path that I take. They follow wherever I go. My sheep know my voice and come at my call. But a stranger's voice do they not know. My sheep know my voice, know my day by day. My sheep know my voice by day by day. They abide in the fold, they go not astray. And go in the fold, not astray, astray. They love me because I gave them my choice. They love me because I gave them my choice. And they follow my
where I lead them so often to feed. My sheep know my voice and the cool sparkling stream, where beside its still waters I lead. My sheep know my voice day by day. My sheep know my voice day by day. They abide in the fold, they go not astray. And go in the fold, they go not astray. They love me because I make my choice. I shall lead them someday, but no danger nor harm can touch one of them, for I will be with them always. My sheep know my voice, know my day, my days. My sheep know my voice, day, my day. They abide in the fold, they go not astray. And God in the fold, always go not astray. They love me because I gave them my choice. They love me because I gave them my choice. They follow my call, they follow my call. My sheep know my
okay, that's all we have for our family. We have one closing song with the extended family, with all of us. So we'll close with that, and we will invite you to join in on the chorus on the last verse on that one. Song number 102.
Birds that in the heavens fly.
Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praise his dear Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy to us. We thank you for the way that you have so loved us that you gave your only son to die for us, and that he not only died, but that he rose again. We just thank you for such great love, and we pray that you would go with us now and help us to live your love and show others by our lives what you have done for us. Just dismiss us with your blessing and guide and direct us, we pray through Christ. Amen.